Good morning. I want to talk about the Passover this morning and the Passover lamb. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper, and these two intermesh. So I thought it'd be fitting to talk about Passover today and then communion next Sunday. I'll go right into the text. We're in Exodus 12, verses 1 through 13. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of their persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on your houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Father, I thank you for your word this morning, for the truth. I thank you that you have left it intact for us, that we may read it to this day to better understand you. I pray, Father, that you will take this message to our hearts. Help us to be discerning and understanding as we go through this text, and better understand why of Passover and also the why of the Lord's Supper. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jacob and his family were forced to migrate to Egypt, there was a severe famine in Canaan. Joseph was already there, and he had told Pharaoh there would be a severe famine for 7 years. It says Jacob had 70 people in his household. And since Joseph had found favor with the Pharaoh, he invited them to come and stay in the land of Goshen. And for 30 years, the Jews stayed there as guests of the Egyptians. They prospered. Everything they did prospered, and they also multiplied greatly. And after Joseph and that generation had died, the Bible says there was another Pharaoh came into power who didn't know Joseph. And because the Jews had multiplied and they were doing so well, he feared that if an enemy invaded Egypt, that the Hebrews might side with their enemies and they would be conquered. So he decided to enslave them. And for the next 400 years in Egypt, they were subjected to bitter slavery and hard labor. If you've read the story, at one point they ordered all the firstborn sons to be killed. You know, it wasn't a good life that they lived. And God raised up a man named Moses to lead them out of Egypt. The historian Josephus said when before Moses was born, an angel appeared to his dad in a dream and told him that he was going to have a son and he would be the deliverer. And if you remember in Stephen's sermon, he mentions in the book of Acts that Moses was a mighty person in word and deed. And that doesn't sound like the Moses we're familiar with. You remember when he was making excuses to God why he couldn't go to Egypt? He said, I don't talk well. You know, I'm not a very impressive person. But the Jewish history says that he was a general of the Egyptian army at one time and a brilliant strategist. He had a reputation as a war general. And Stephen mentions that Moses thought Israel would understand that he was going to be the one to lead them out. And I believe Moses thought he would do it through his political connections. As Pharaoh's adopted grandson, he would have been in line for the throne. And that's my opinion. The scriptures don't bear it out. But I've just always thought, maybe Moses thought, God's placed me in the Pharaoh's house. He's placed me in this high position so he can use me to bring Israel out of Egypt. How many of you know God never works in the ways we think he should? Most of the time. God always has plans. God always knows what he's going to do. And even when we believe and know he's going to use us, it's rarely the way we think he will. So Moses had been an Egyptian general. He had been high up in the political realm. And you remember he lost all that when he murdered an Egyptian for beating a Hebrew slave. And he spent 40 years following sheep. And it's interesting to me that after 40 years of following sheep, God said, now you're ready. You know, I couldn't use you when you was a general. I couldn't use you when you had all that influence. Now you're ready for me to use. So he sent him there. Well, we know the story that when Moses got there, God finally talked him into it. He argued with him a little bit. When Moses got there, when he approached the Pharaoh, and he said, God wants you to let his people go. Pharaoh said, well, who's your God that I should listen to him? And as Forrest Gump said, God showed up. You know, I love that. He said, who's your God? And wham. God said, I'll show you who I am. And he visited Egypt with 10 terrible plagues. And today I want to look at the 10th and the worst of all of them. God assured Moses and Israel. Pharaoh kept saying no. The Bible says God hardened his heart, and it also said Pharaoh hardened his heart. But God assured Moses, when this 10th plague comes, he'll not only ask you to leave, he will beg you to leave. In fact, he will drive you out. You know, we see in the movies, if you've watched Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments and some of the others, the Israelites leave the next day. But Passover started at midnight. The death of the children started at midnight. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron in and said, get out. Get your people, get your animals, take all your possessions. And he said, bless me. They didn't leave during the daytime. They left in the middle of the night. That's why the Lord said, I want you to have your sandals on, your belts fastened, your everything in your hand, be ready to go. Well, we know the story. It said at midnight, God went through the streets of Egypt, and everywhere he didn't see the blood, the firstborn in that house died. Firstborn of people and firstborn of animals. You know, when you read about the instructions he gives them, he says, I want you to take a lamb, a year old. It can be out of the sheep or the goats, but it can't have any blemishes, no defects. And he said, you are to slaughter that lamb, and then you take hyssop, which was a plant, and you are to paint the doorpost on each side of the doorpost and the lintel with the blood of the lamb. And I believe the reason God did that was that this atonement had to be made for them. The Hebrews had been in Egypt for 400 years. They were inundated by the culture, the gods of Egypt. And we see that when they're not into the wilderness very long. You remember they said to Aaron, we don't know what's happened to Moses. Make us gods. And what Aaron make them? A golden calf. What was the golden calf? It was the bull god of the Egyptians. They believed it was a god of power. And when Moses come down off the hill and saw what was going on, when he got Aaron offside, he said, "What possessed you to do that?" He said, "Well, they were going to stone me." And he said, I took all the gold and put it in the fire, and this calf came out. It's a wonder he didn't die right on the spot. The Bible said he fashioned it. So he intentionally molded that gold into that calf. That was a god the Hebrews were familiar with. And I'm saying that to say they were sinners. And God had to make a distinction between them and the Egyptians. He said, "I'm sending the destroyer through there. But I have instructed him, when he sees the blood of the lamb on the house, don't touch those people." Now that's mercy. I had a guy one time arguing with me about the Old Testament and the New, and he said, in the Old Testament they were under law, and the New Testament were under grace. Yes, but I said, the Old Testament's full of grace. By the definition of the word grace, it's unmerited favor. It didn't say God chose Abraham because he was an upright, righteous, outstanding dude. It said he chose him. In fact, in Ur of the Chaldeans, they were idol worshipers. And God selected this man and said, "Come into Canaan, and I'm going to bless you." When God chose the Jews, the Hebrews, the descendants, he told them later on in the wilderness, he said, "I didn't choose you and put my love on you because you were better than anyone else or you were more than anyone else." He said, "You're a very stubborn and rebellious people." In fact, twice he told Moses, "Stand back, I'll kill them all." These are the kind of people that the Lord's dealing with. That blood had to be shed. God said in the book of Leviticus, he said, "You don't eat the blood. The life of the animals is in the blood, and I've given that to you to make atonement for your souls." Eating blood was forbidden. Now, if you remember back after the flood, he told Noah the same thing. He said, "You can freely eat of any of the animals, but don't eat their blood." So there was a reason that the blood of the lamb had to be shed, and I believe it was for the atonement of Israel's sins. And whenever a lamb was offered to God in sacrifice, God said it can't have a blemish. If you've ever read the prophet Malachi, that's one of the complaints God brings against the Jews. He said, "You're bringing me crippled and diseased and blind animals and expect me to accept that?" He said, "Take them and give them to your governor and see what he does." You know, they didn't have a king in those days. They had governors appointed over. He said, "Take them offerings and offer it to your governor." God's holy. And he said, "When you bring me these sacrifices, they cannot have blemishes in them. They can't have defects in them." Now, when a lamb was offered for a sin offering, especially on the Day of Atonement, you know, the priest, they would slaughter the lamb, and the blood would go into the Holy of Holies. He would take it in there, and first he would sprinkle it on the ark for his sins, then he would sprinkle it for the sins of the nation. And the lamb was burned. The whole lamb was burned on the altar. And if you notice here, God told them, "I want the whole lamb roasted. Insides and all." But it was like a fellowship offering, because you could make a fellowship offering to God. The priest would slaughter the animal, they would get a piece of it, and God would allow you to eat off of that animal that was being sacrificed, and the rest was burned on an altar. So I've always seen this as a type of fellowship offering, to have fellowship with the Lord, but it was also a sin offering. And whenever they made a sacrifice, God said, "If any of it's left until morning, don't eat it. That's holy. You burn it. That's mine. I don't want you eating that." And that's the same instructions he gave to the Jews. So he said, "You slaughter your lamb. You roast your lamb over the fire. You don't take the organs out. You roast it all." And he said, "I want you to eat it. But if anything's left over, it's to be burned." He said they were eat it with unleavened bread. Leaven is very often in the scriptures used as an example of sin and false teaching. And it's called matzah. To this day they eat matzah at the Passover. It's a bread without any yeast. And the same thing held true in the law. God said, when you offer me grain offerings and there's bread involved, there cannot be any yeast in the bread, because the bread represents sin. Jesus, in Matthew 16, was warning his disciples about the teaching of the Pharisees. He said, beware of their leaven. And if you remember, they thought, well, it's because we forgot to bring bread. And Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about bread, bright boys. I'm talking about their teaching. Beware of that leaven. Paul told the church in Corinth they had some gross, sexually immoral sin going on in the church. And he said, don't tolerate that. You put them out of the church. He said, a little bit of yeast spreads through the whole lump. He said, you got to purge that. You got to get rid of them. Now later, he told them to take the guy back. At least that's what they believe in 2 Corinthians. That's who he's talking about. Paul said, the punishment you inflicted on him is good for now. Take him back, lest he gets discouraged and he quits. But you see, the Bible uses yeast as a comparison to sin. And it makes sense, because a little bit of yeast, Paul said, spreads through the whole dough. It infects the whole dough. Well, God, in this offering that he had the Jews give to him, this unleavened bread, he said, there can't be any yeast in it. I don't want any yeast. He said, in fact, you can't even have it in your house for 7 days. And I read, to this day, that's what the Jews do. The day that the unleavened bread feast starts, they don't have any yeast in their house. They don't cook with yeast. They still eat the roast lamb. They're not eating it with their sandals on, their belts fastened, their robes on. It's more of a leisurely meal. But at the beginning of the feast, the father will sit down and read the Exodus story to his children. And when God gave them this, he said, I want you to do this every year. And he said, then when your children ask, why do we do this, then you're to tell them. The bitter herbs was to remind them of the bitterness of the slavery they'd been in. Why do you think God said do it every year? He wanted them to remember where he brought them from. Now, I'm one that the older I get, I catch myself dwelling more in the past, especially the fond memories of the past. But I believe that we shouldn't live in the past. But I'll tell you, I believe as believers that every once in a while, we need to reflect on where we were before we met Jesus Christ, the kind of people we were, and what God has brought us out of. Now, I'll talk about this a little more next week. That's one reason we gather around this table. It's in remembrance. And God told the Jews every year, on the 14th day of the first month, the month of Abib, every year, I want you for 7 days to eat unleavened bread, to eat the lamb, and remember where I brought you out of. We forget it too often. I've seen, even in my own life sometimes, an arrogance. When I was on the ambulance sometimes, I'd get people on there just goofy as a caged squirrel. And I mean, they's on the meth and doing everything else. And I'd catch myself, I'd get so burned, I'd think, what an idiot. And one day the Spirit of God said, I remember another idiot used to act just like it. I didn't think I acted that bad. You know, but that's what the Lord said to me. I remember another idiot. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. We need to remember where we came from, church. Some of you may said, I got saved when I was 5. Never smoked a cigarette, took a drink of alcohol, praise God. But you needed a Savior, okay? You cannot be saved until you realize you need to be saved. It doesn't work. You can believe in Jesus, you can believe in God. I hear that, well, I believe in God and Jesus, and I've read some of the Bible, but I'm basically a good person. There's no one good. There was no one good among this crowd that God gave this Passover ordinance to. The lamb's blood had to be shed. He told them, don't leave the house. Once you put that blood on there, don't step out of the house. Why? Because they would have probably dropped dead. That destroying angel was coming through there. God said, if you don't put the blood on your house, your firstborn will die. I don't think there was probably anyone in the crowd when Moses gave this instruction that said, I just really don't believe that, Moses. Come on, that's kind of silly. Lamb's blood on my house. I think every one of them listened very carefully to what Moses had to say and said, now you're sure. You're sure, Moses, this is going to work. What am I supposed to do? Unleavened bread. Okay, I got to get rid of you. And I got to put the lamb's blood on the door. I'll do that. Don't go out of the house. You got it. I don't think there was any scoffer standing there saying, well, I really don't see the point in this. I don't believe this. You know, doesn't matter. They knew they were God's chosen. They knew God was sending a deliverer. But as I said, they'd become so inundated in the Egyptian culture and their gods, they were sinners. They believed there was a lot of different gods. Their God was one of them. You know, one of many gods. I read that the Egyptians had 10 main gods that they worshiped, but they said there were hundreds of household gods, different gods that people were worshiping. Everybody had their own god. You got a god, I got a god, everybody got a god. And it's just, there was 10 main ones, and you remember when God pronounced his judgment, he said, I'm judging the gods. You know where Egypt came from? They were descended from Ham, the son of Noah. And if you remember, God cursed, or Noah cursed Ham's son Canaan because of something Ham did to him. The Egyptians were part of Ham's race. At one time, I believe that all men and women knew about God. They didn't have the idols. They didn't have the images. Paul said in Romans 1, their foolish hearts became darkened, and they began to make images. And you see God being very harsh with Egypt, and then there's other prophecies where God talks about turning his attention back to them to show compassion on them. So at this time, God's judging this nation very severely, but his people's right in the middle of it, and he said, you got to do exactly what I said. They were already elected, but that blood of the lamb separated them. God said, this plague is coming, this judgment's coming, it's a terrible judgment, and if you want your oldest to survive, I better see the blood when I walk by there. Because if the blood's not there, they will die. Don't eat leavened bread. I don't want to see any yeast in your house. There better not be any leaven in that house. This is what convinces me. This wasn't just a meal. This was an offering to God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have cared about the yeast. But when you made an offering to him, there could be no yeast in the bread. Yeast represents sin and false doctrine. And God said, I don't want to see any yeast. There better be blood on that house. When you eat this lamb, you roast it whole. What you don't eat, I want it burned. And the proof of that, when you go into the law, when it's delivered at Sinai, you go into the book of Leviticus, God gives the exact same stipulations for the offerings that they're to bring you. God was setting these people aside specifically. I believe if they hadn't have put that blood on the door, that the destroying angel would have killed every firstborn in every house. But God in his grace said, I'm going to let them put the blood of the lamb on the door. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. I've heard some condemn Christianity as a slaughterhouse religion. Blood, blood, blood. Talk about the blood of the cross. Talk about the blood of sacrifices. I remember a guy told me once, God's not a fair God. Why did he make them slaughter innocent animals? I didn't know how to answer that. I'd been a Christian about a month, but when I got home, I started studying and looking it up, and I went back and told him he could have asked them to slaughter their firstborn. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. His name was Bob. I said, Bob, that was mercy. God said, blood has to be shed for sins. And he allowed them to shed the blood of animals to make atonement. Every year, Israel is to honor the Passover observance. They do it to this day. It's to remind them of where they were when God brought them out of the land of slavery. Now next week I want to talk about the Lord's Supper. They were doing the Feast of Unleavened Bread when the Lord initiated what we call communion, the Lord's Supper, the sacraments, whatever you want to call that. It's even more significant than this. And what Jesus say, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Would you stand with me this morning? What a God we serve. God selected a bunch of stiff-necked, proud rebels and called them his people, and he provided for forgiveness of sins. He watched over them. He put up with them, and he loved them. I'm thankful for a God like that. Will whoever has the closing prayer please offer it for us?